A reading from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Listen now to God's word. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own goal, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us, then, who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this, too, God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have obtained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observing those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction, their goal is the belly, and their glory is in the shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him and make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning, EPC. It's so great to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning through digital means. As you're watching, I'm at home recovering from wisdom tooth surgery, and I'm so grateful for your prayers and your love and your support. So this morning, we're taking a look at Philippians chapter 3. We've been talking about what it means to live the Christian life through the lens of the book of Philippians, and this chapter really focuses in on purpose. Paul's talking about what it means to keep our eye on the prize, what it means to live for a heavenly purpose. And I heard this story, I changed a little bit to fit with our U.S. context, but it was a little boy who went to his mentor and he said, you know, one day I'd like to grow up and be the mayor of the town. And the mentor said, well, that's great. And then what will you do? And he said, well, after that, I think I'd like to be a state representative. And the mentor said, wonderful. And then what would you do? He said, I think I'd be the governor. And the mentor said, fantastic. What would you do after that? And then the little boy said, well, I think then I'd like to be president. And the mentor said, wonderful. And then what? And the little boy said, I hadn't really thought past that. And the point of the story, of course, is that we can have ambition. We can take our ambition all the way to the top, but then what? And that's what Paul's talking about in this passage. He's talking about living for a heavenly purpose. And there's that verse that we just heard where Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. And when I hear that, I think about what it means to live for a purpose that is beyond just today. Living in such a way that when all is said and done, when we get to the end of the and then what, we get to a place where we have peace and purpose and happiness. So I've asked a couple of friends to come up and share with you their vision for how they see God working in their life for a heavenly purpose. We're going to hear from Tom, and then we'll hear from Renee, and we will conclude our series next week with Philippians chapter 4. Thanks again so much for your love and support, and we'll see you next week.
Good morning. I was a little surprised Tracy asked me to give some thoughts on my personal faith journey. Then I realized she didn't hear me screw up the passing of the peace a few weeks ago. So let's hope this goes a little better. Although I had grown up going to the Presbyterian Church in Deerfield and had attended a Christian college, after that I was not involved in the church for a number of years. When Diane and I joined Elmhurst EPC several years ago, we were really simply looking for a place that had a great Sunday school program for our son Jack, and it really did. We didn't expect to be transformed personally and think about the impact of God's grace and how that would nudge us to think outside ourselves. And since then, since joining EPC, I've been very fortunate to have been able to help Diana, Pam, Alan, and many others on PADS projects, including painting the basement, fundraising for PADS, and it's been very, it's really helped me along in my purpose. About a year ago, I remember sitting on our patio with Diana discussing some of these mission projects that she'd been working on. She challenged me to think about my purpose and passion. How do I want to give back? And by the way, that bit of honesty is what you should be looking for in a partner, by the way. A real challenge. And I'll be candid. In that year, since then, I've spent a lot more time thinking about how I want to contribute rather than taking action. Like many Presbyterians, I was trying to kind of reason it in my head instead of looking for how God would show me signs of how the journey would continue. But through that process, I think what I've decided is I wanted to look to an area of society in which there is a lot of need, and that's helping our aging population and our aging seniors. For many years, I've worked in a business that helps people plan for the cost of care in the future. And I've been struck by the challenge of convincing someone to help an older stranger, namely themselves in the future. I thought if it's that hard to convince people to help out their future selves, it must be even more challenging to help out strangers who are aged and may need help through housing or loneliness issues or whatever it might be. We're a culture that celebrates youth and seemingly will spend any amount of money to stay that way. However, back in the days of the Old Testament, when the average lifespan was much shorter than today, elders were really revered. Consider these two verses from Proverbs. First, Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Or Proverbs 16:31. A gray head is a crown of glory, and it is found in the way of righteousness. Looking around the sanctuary, I think we have an abundance of honor and righteousness here. We need to change our attitude in how we view the contributions and wisdom of our older generation. Life doesn't stop when people retire from a job. Their journey continues. The story Tracy told in the video about the kids' plans is so true. Even after someone gets to the highest level, there is always something more to work on. I've been blessed to meet many retirees here at church and have conversations during church picnics, coffee hours, and all sorts of different meeting places. Through the Good Shepherd program, I visited members living in local retirement facilities. I remember helping Hal and Meg March along with other members of the church during their move and transition. I'll always learn something from conversations with people who have a longer perspective on life. I'm encouraged and hopeful by how resilient people are, and that how they continue to make new friends and connections, even when family might no longer be around. Now I look forward to opportunities to help our aging population whenever these type of opportunities arise. It could be as simple as Good Shepherds, or this Alzheimer's walk I'm participating in October, or going to an 80th birthday party of someone I used to work with today. I'm going to do that right after church. And just simply engaging in church is a wonderful way to establish intergenerational connections that really aren't often available in other places in our society. Any journey means setbacks and delays, and unlike the kid in Tracy's story, I'm not 100% sure of my future plans. However, I'll strive not to worry about how I can have an impact and instead focus on listening, being open to opportunities and ideas, and taking action. The reason I'm always open to the message of Jesus is because of his message of hope for today and for the journey ahead. So thank you, and Renee.
Good morning, EPC family. Before I start my story, I just want to thank all of you. I'm going to talk a little bit about the nonprofit that I work with, and many of you have been very generous to donate your money, your time, to come and see a fundraiser that I threw a couple of years ago. And one of you sang at that fundraiser. One guess who that was? This has been incredible support to our family, and I hope that I have made you very proud with the money that you've donated to try and build as much support as we possibly can. I also want to thank Tracy and wish her blessings as she is undergoing and recovering from her oral surgery. I think that it's very special that Tracy asked me to speak specifically about a disorder that our teenage daughter had where she was born without her reproductive organs. I think that it is unique that someone would ask me to speak about this disorder at church, and it speaks to the evolution of women's rights, that we are willing to get to know our women and our young girls and ask them how they are. So I'm going to reflect on something I called Life Happens on Purpose. I had no clue I would ever become an advocate for women with MRKH, or as my mom likes to call it, that thing with four letters. In 2011, when our oldest daughter was diagnosed with this rare disorder, we had a crash course. As teenage girls with MRKH grow older, they learn they cannot bear children in the typical fashion, and that their reproductive organs and many other organs, bones, and bodies don't look like others. To add insult to injury, girls seem most traumatized by the approach their well-meaning families and doctors take, which is, let's fix them up so that it looks like this thing never happened. When Sophie was diagnosed with MRKH, the Beautiful You Foundation I now work with did not yet exist. Our family had no support, and I felt very isolated. I needed to spin something from nothing very quickly. During this time, I sensed something big was coming. I quit writing my two weekly columns to prepare for what I didn't know. It was like when the birds leave the area in the weeks before an earthquake. They could feel the tremors. I didn't plan to seek and find women from all over the world who were born with this rare disorder and ask them their stories. I didn't plan to find out the way in which they wished they had been treated at the time of their diagnosis and treatment. These women didn't fix the hole in my heart, but the way they gave me their hearts made me feel a part of the whole. A few years later, I met a group of women, all living with MRKH, who created the Beautiful You MRKH Foundation. These women suffered through strains of disease, disorder, and incredibly demanding careers to build a network of support that would give the next generation of women what they never had. If that's not the best definition of a mother, I don't know what is. I knew I was good at asking people for money, and I knew I was good at taking care of people. So I threw a fundraiser. I knew God was a whole lot better at talking to folks than I was, so I prayed before addressing the medical community at the convention we attended that year. I listened to the words come out, just like everybody else did for the first time. This was theater with an unknown ending. I implored doctors at a medical conference not to rush to the knife before considering their patient's feelings. I begged them to ask their patient, "How are you?" But God knew. God took the pain of my past and converted it to peace. I feel peaceful when I invite women into the folds of the beautiful You community and watch them blossom as they share their stories together. Nobody tries to fix them. They talk without pause. They listen. They cry very deeply. They laugh a lot. They wonder which of the four men fought for first prize of getting their initial to come first as they claimed the name of this rare disorder, MRKH. I think it's time maybe we find a new name, don't you? Maybe God has that plan too. Sometimes you have to search for a purpose for your life. Other times your purpose comes to you suddenly in the face of adversity, and your instinctive reaction comes to you in your hour of need with a precision so perfect that the work seems straight from God's heavenly hands. Spoiler alert, it is straight from God's heavenly hands. God has a plan for you, whether you see the signs or not. But I can tell you right now, life will take on new meaning when you get to know Him a little bit better each day. The more you know Him, the more you will love Him. And at the end of your life, you will recognize His signature, His signs, and the abundance of blooming flowers you planted and cared for with His loving hands.